the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. We're wrapping up the Metro today. It's the Puck Guys, Patrick, Jason, and Eddie with you again. We're wrapping up our 31-30 for the Metropolitan Division. And after this, we'll be talking about the Atlantic. Yesterday, we talked about that really, really good team that's not the Rangers, that's the Islanders. The New York team that was good, right? I mean, they were better than the Rangers, which is
so much
very
better.
Strange.
Yeah.
How's it going, Eddie?
Good is a loose term, talking about which New York team was a good team.
Yeah, a relative, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're going to be in New York, I would automatically not want to be an Islanders fan just with how bad they are. Christ. But the Rangers don't have a history of winning.
If you look across the board, the entire state of New York sucks for hockey right now.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Buffalo, too. Yep, very much so. I wish we could get Buffalo's in New York because no one ever talks about them.
Yeah, for good
reason. The Rangers finished dead last in the division, 34-39-7, 77 points. They lost Paul Carey, David Desharnais, Andre Pavlik. Oh, poor goaltenders. Losing Andre Pavlik was a big deal. They fired head coach Alain Vigneault, and Rick Nash was traded to Boston, and then now he's not even in Boston anymore, apparently. He's going to retire.
Well, he hasn't decided yet.
I mean, concussion issues, that poor guy. But no longer a Ranger.
Don't have McDonough.
No JT Miller. They basically said we're just going to start over and deal with it. Rangers fans will figure it out. Very curious they didn't trade Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, if you just make that poor bastard sit in net with no team in front of him.
I don't think they're making him. He pretty much said, I don't want to play anywhere else.
Yeah. He's just kind of like at the point in his career.
He's
like, I don't
37,
care.
Right? No point in moving.
At 47, probably.
And speaking of Lundqvist, I mean, being 26-0-7 with a basically 3.0 goals against average and a 915 save percentage. That's backup numbers. That's the worst statistical year of his career. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about him coming back this season with the team in front of him that he really much or pretty much doesn't have anyone to help?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously, every year you get older as a goaltender, it's going to be tough. I mean, he'll still be the Henrik Lundqvist we know, but I feel like you look, especially this defense. I mean, they lost Ryan McDonough, which is huge, and then they've only got Shea and Shattenkirk, who aren't really going to help him out a ton, and then you've got a couple of rookies, and you've got Mark Stahl, and that's it. So I don't think it's going to be a great year for him. I think it's going to be a tough year for the Rangers as a whole, but Lundqvist is going to be there no matter what. I mean, he'll still be the guy who starts pretty much 60 games out of the year unless he gets hurt, because really they don't have anybody else behind him. So he's going to have to be their guy, but it's going to be another tough year for him.
Yeah, poor Lundqvist. I feel bad for him, but yeah, I mean, the reason most of his stats were down is that team, the New York Rangers, pretty much just said, all right, we are tanking the rest of the way, we're offloading a lot of our good assets to go full rebuild mode. So when that happens, I don't care who you really put in net, they're not going to be able to really overcome those deficiencies, and that's proven by him having the worst statistical year. I mean, the team's defense was 28th. They gave up the 30th most amount of shots against. Once again, a goalie like Lundqvist, you can't keep doing that to him. As he starts to get older, he's going to have to get some breaks in there. Pavlik was not much of a rebound or, you know, a backup goalie to really help him out. So I think we're missing, though, the real key point on what's going to turn this New York Rangers team around, and that is that they did get Matt Beleski. And I feel that he can really anchor that AHL team all the way into the NHL. Because at this point, there's not a whole lot. I don't know about you guys, but I got depressed reviewing this team. I got physically depressed.
I mean, the most disappointing part is they only have $5 million in cap space, and they got rid of all these big players. And it's because they had to pay guys. I mean, I understand a little bit. I mean, they took on Kevin Shattenkirk's contract.
Yeah.
But they have a ton. I think it's like $13 million coming off after the next two seasons.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of room here that they're going to start rebuilding. It's just going to be slow and steady.
They have the other thing, too, is they have all their
picks. In the cellar.
Yeah, they have all their picks, and they also have Tampa Bay second. And if Tampa Bay wins the cup this upcoming year, it becomes a first-round pick. So they they're pretty much poised to kind of start the rebuild just after this season. This team will probably go the way Lundqvist and basically how much better, more better, that Shattenkirk ends up playing the last year, because it was a very poor outing for his first season with the Rangers. About the only other bright spot the Rangers have is that Panarin really wants to come over there for some god-awful reason. I have no idea why.
Russians only play on the coast.
I guess so. So so anyway, so yeah, it's going to be hard to really kind of do much of anything. Zibanejad was their leading goal scorer with 27 goals. But he was a minus 23, and 14 of those 27 goals were on the power play, and about half of his points were from the power play. So this is not a good 5-on-5 team, and I don't think it's gotten all that much better. We'll just have to see if Lundqvist can play slightly better, and if Shattenkirk can play slightly better. They all might be slightly better.
I think they are slightly better than the Islanders. I know we kind of ranked them 7th and 8th among all three of us, but I feel like they're slightly better in the fact that their forward depth is a little bit better. I mean, Zibanejad, Zuccarello, and Kreider is a pretty good line. Spooner did very well for them coming over from Boston last year, and then they've got Anistikov and Buchnevich, which isn't that bad as well. And then you've got Jimmy Vesey, Kevin Hayes, and Jesper Fast as the third line, and then a mix of whoever you really want to throw on that fourth line. They've got some rookies who could come up and play. So I think the forward depth isn't that bad. Obviously, they don't really have a Barzal type of player, but they seem to have at least three decent lines that have scoring potential on all of them. So they're not as bad in my eyes as Islanders in that sense. The defense is a bit scarier, I guess. I mean, both are bad. You've got a top one pairing of Shea and Shattenkirk that's actually a decent top pairing, but after that it
on paper,
yeah, after that it kind of falls off. I mean, Staal, D'Angelo, Gilmore, Brendan Smith, Pionkwa, whoever, some of these guys we really haven't even heard of, so it's questionable. I don't think they're going to be good. I think they'll be marginally better than they were last year, but it will be them and the Islanders flipping between 7th and 8th in the division.
I mean, they got a lot younger, I feel like. They all got guys in their mid-20s now. They have $5 million in cap space, not a lot of room to wiggle there, but they're going to have guys that need to get paid if they want to keep them, right? I mean, Kevin Hayes is making $5 million, Matt Zuccarello making $4.5 million, and it's kind of like those guys are going to want more money next season. So I'm curious to see if any trades happen. I wonder if they're going to be looking to see where they're sitting and then go for picks big time around the deadline and go from there. I feel like if they're going to do a full tool rebuild, they need to do that. It's so hard nowadays in the NHL, if you get rid of a lot of your top end players, to just kind of retool while you're working on your next cup run. And I think they're past the point of being able to do that. They need to do a full rebuild.
Which I could also admire. Like, you see a lot of those teams that just don't figure it out that they need to be in rebuild. And it's like every year that's just, it's mediocrity. And that's almost worse, in my opinion, to always kind of be, yeah, they might make the playoffs. And who knows, if they get an eighth, who knows what can happen after that. But really, if the underlying numbers aren't there, you just have to hope you get a whole bunch of puck luck for 2 months in the postseason to do whatever you're planning on doing. So in a way, I'm kind of happy, commendable that the Rangers pretty much said, listen, we're going to lose a lot of players that you're probably not going to be real thrilled with us, but we got to kind of do this to really kind of hit bottom and build ourselves back up. They're doing that with their draft picks. They got some space. They're solidifying some of the younger guys at least a little bit, but I mean, they've accepted the full rebuild, and you know, it's growing pains, but that makes it a lot quicker to get back into it. It's just sad when you think two seasons ago they had 102 points, and now all of a sudden they're I mean, well, might be around 80, something like that. So it's sad. Yeah. That's what I told you. I got depressed.
It's going to be a quicker turnaround, I think, than other teams, because like you said, they kind of accepted the rebuild and have been full force with that rebuild. I mean, they got rid of some big names. Like Pat was saying, they're probably going to make some trades. I would assume Zuccarello's probably gone by the deadline. I don't see... Mm-hmm. With a team that's trying to get younger, why you'd bring back a guy who's going to be 31, closer to 32 at the deadline, and try and re-sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal? You might as well trade him to a team, hope that he has a decent season or at least a half season, and then get something for him. Because the rest of this team is young. They've either re-signed a lot of these guys in the off season, brought guys over from trades, or just have a young team in general. So I think they're moving in the right direction. But yeah, it is going to be another sad season, an 80. Maybe pushing 90 if they impress some teams, if Lundqvist can do well, but it's going to be a tough year.
I mean, yeah, their two longest contracts are Mika Zibanejad and Brady Shea. So, and they're still paying Dan Girardi for the next 4 years, by the way. Five years.
I know you love that.
Five seasons. Dan Girardi's making cash from the Rangers. It's beautiful. So, and they brought in a new head coach. Obviously, we'd said that Elaine Vigneault got let go. So maybe new voice in the locker room, as Jason would like to say, looking at the bright side of things. Mm-hmm. And maybe this guy is able to speak to the youngsters better and maybe not be the same old angry. Elaine Vigneault, obviously French-Canadian. Oh. So, I mean, clearly they didn't like those in New York. That's why he was let go. And now they got a young guy coming to the telling Henrik Lundqvist how to live his life. So we'll see what happens with the Rangers. Yeah. Like we said, I don't have them pegged to be really any better. I have them as seventh in this division. Mm-hmm. It would be a cold day in hell if they go on some sort of run, or Lundqvist just plays lights out all year and is able to carry like a 930 Dominic Hasek style save percentage in this year in order to get them to where they need to be even like to sneak in. But why would you want to? Like you said, it's like they already accepted the rebuild. Just tank.
Just tank at this point, man.
Snooze for Hughes is what everyone says this season, right? You got to go after Jack Hughes. That's what everyone's after, the number one prospective number one draft pick going into this next season, right? Who else is in this draft, Eddie? Is there just Hughes and then it's a huge cliff, or is it Hughes and somebody else?
It's pretty much Hughes, and then there's some other guys who are very good, but it's really jumbled up right now. There's a kid in Finland with a great name. His name's Kapo Kakko, who is supposed to go somewhere after Quinn Hughes, somewhere between 2 to 5. And then there's just a...
Oh, it's Quinn Hughes, my bad.
Quinn Hughes was drafted last year, so it is Jack who is... Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Jack Hughes is the consensus number one, unless he has a horrible season, which I doubt, because he's going to get a lot of exposure. He'll be at World Juniors. He'll be playing with the U.S. National Development Team again. So he's going to get a lot of exposure. He should easily go number one.
And does anybody know the backup goaltender right now for the Rangers?
Nope.
It's
Georgiev?
I'm going to butcher his name.
Good. Do it. No, sound like me.
Merrick.
Oh, well.
Merrick Mazanik. That's another thing too. If the King gets hurt, then it's just going to be a scary night every night. I mean, you're never really going to get to the point of replicating Henrik Lundqvist if he's on fire. So I mean, they're in the right spot to fail, which is good. That's what they
want. Maybe they'll get Bobrovsky.
Is that what they're preparing for? They're going to get a double deal. They're going to bring over Bobrovsky and
Panarin. Because, like you said, Russians, they only want to play on the coast. So this is all lining up to your logic, man.
I mean, maybe they'll bring John Tortorella back too, right? He'll come back and be the Rangers coach,
Russian.
Right? Bring him over. I actually heard the Columbus Blue Jackets are looking at extending him right now.
Yeah, well, they're trying to. Oh, you mean Torts?
Yeah, they're trying to get Tortorella back.
Well, there's not really anybody else out there. I mean, he's not great, but who's better?
Elaine Vigneault.
Oh, God. Probably Carlisle.
All-time Canucks great.
The Canucks to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
Very true. So, I mean, everyone's always been waiting for the Canucks to figure out that they need to fail. Like, someone described them as a season or two ago that they were like the Wile E. Coyote in Looney Tunes, where he goes over the cliff and he doesn't fall until he looks down. He just hasn't looked down yet. Yeah. He's ready to die.
Yeah.
But he just hasn't looked down to die.
He holds that sign that says yikes, right before he falls.
I feel like that's what the Rangers were at, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to own it and just tank.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I have him finishing seventh. Eddie, you have him finishing
seventh. No, actually, I have him finishing sixth. I had to recheck. I had the Devils finishing seventh. I remember that now. That's right.
Oh, what the hell? You don't like Taylor Hall?
I like Taylor Hall. I just don't like the rest of that team. I don't think they're that good.
All right. I got the Rangers eighth. Like I said,
how do you have them behind the Islanders?
Well, I have them like one, you know, seven and
like
eight. Like I said, they one could get a little bit better, but I mean, they finished eighth last year.
Yeah, very
and
true.
They,
very
they
true.
Had a lot of those other players that they got rid of during the season, and now they're gone. And I didn't see anyone that they brought in that's going to replicate anything close to that. They're going to have to hope whatever is left over from last season plays a little bit better. I'm talking about Shattenkirk and Lundqvist, but I feel other than that, that offense is a little sketchy to me when your top goal scorer has to score more than half of his goals on the power play. It's going to be rough.
I think a bright spot before we close this out is Pavel Buchnevich, who everyone was like pissed about him being misused on this Rangers team by Alain Vigneault. He was always like a third, fourth line guy, but all the Corsi people were, and all the analytics people, I shouldn't say Corsi people, the analytics community is like, dude, this guy's putting up like top six numbers and you're burying him with horrible minutes.
Yeah.
So I think with Alain Vigneault being gone and they're having them having a chance with a new coach and he's got really no one in his way to play, you're going to see a lot more of him. And maybe that'll be something that will, you know, will be a bright spot for the Rangers this season. But other than that, I mean, just chug right through like the Islanders and question your season ticket status at the end of the season, depending on what they do.
Yeah, and that's kind of a good point, because Alain Vigneault has a reputation for not playing younger players. Like, you have to earn that trust and that respect season in, season out.
The old Carlisle method.
And unfortunately, now the new NHL, you don't get that. You need those young guys to be able to produce and play up. That's just the way the NHL is now. So you're going to have to put some faith in there. Every team is going to have to start to draft better, scout better, and utilize those players, because all the top teams have to use those other players in the third and fourth line to win.
He almost has no choice right now either. I mean, this team is pretty much half young players. I mean, the starting roster right now has two rookies they drafted in 2017 and Brett Howden, who they got in the Tampa Bay trade for Ryan McDonagh, starting for their team. So them with Pavel Buchnevich and some of the younger guys he has, he kind of has no choice but to put them in the lineup. Otherwise, he's playing Matt Beletsky in the top nine.
I got to see that.
That was like the one bullet that Bob Murray dodged.
Yeah, that was good, not overpaying him.
It's like, yeah, he wants like a 4x4.
Wow,
like, no, we can't give it to him.
Okay. This
for that price. Yeah, we can get
another
to that.
Another rant. Another topic.
We can get to that.
We can have a lot of rant.
Poor Beletsky. All right, everybody, that is it. Sorry, it's not as exciting if you're a Rangers fan to tune into the show, but if you're everyone else, you can just laugh because we all are down on them just like you should be. Well, we'll be back with the Atlantic Division tomorrow, starting it off with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. We love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye, guys.